Hallelujah. Praise God. We are ready to roll. Another exciting morning, another exciting service set before us. Hallelujah. We had a wonderful time praising God. I want to just kind of launch off and take off again this morning. We're talking about dressed for success, real spiritual warfare. Real meaning reasonings, every thought, arguments, and lies. We have been, we've traveled a fair amount here already. We've already talked about, I had three purposes, I guess, for this message. And one was to explain our clothes. And so we talked about that. Number two was to prepare us to fight and win. And so we're kind of in the middle of that. And then the last thing would be to show us how to get dressed and to take our place, our seat, and to reign. Praise God. And so then a couple weeks ago, we read a couple scriptures in regards to our position. And we found out that in Ephesians chapter 2, that we have been raised up together with Him, seated with Him in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that it's named. And so we've been given a seat because we got born again. We become part of the family, and we were given a seat in Christ, raised up together. And this seat is not just there to sit and put our feet on the coffee table, even though it is a comfortable place. It is a place where the family hangs out, but it's also a place to operate from. As family, we're part of the family business. Amen. And so we also rule and reign, and we dominate or have dominion from that seat. And so we see that God has called us to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase, to fill up the earth, to subdue and have dominion. And so that's one of the things that we do from that seat. Romans 5:17 says that we are to rule. The Amplified says rule and reign as kings through one Jesus Christ. And so that's kind of what we're talking about. Too many times people in the body of Christ and the world just kind of functions this way. But you just kind of hope something good happens. You kind of wish things work out. And yet God has called us and positioned us and seated us in a place to rule and to reign. To have dominion, to exercise dominion. Right? That's part of the God-given responsibility that He's given to parents. And there are too many parents that the 3-year-old is ruling and reigning. The 14-year-old is ruling and reigning. You know? They go to the restaurant, they go to the mall, and the 3-year-old's ruling and reigning. And they wonder, you know, I told you, be quiet. But you don't train people when you're in the mall, you train them at home. So when you get to the mall and get to the restaurant, the 3-year-old already knows who's in charge. Right? Audrey trains horses. And you've got a couple thousand pounds. Who's in charge is not based on weight. Who's in charge is who's in charge. And God has said we as humans are to dominate. And so He's given us authority over the animals. He's given us dominion. And so we are to rule and reign. And so there's ways. We are to have dominion. And so we train. So she trains horses and lets them know who's in charge. They're bigger. So you know what? They have to watch out which way they jump when they spook. You don't jump into the human. No, you jump in the other way. They need to learn that, or else they don't think about these things. They have to be taught. Children don't think about a lot of things. They need to be taught. And when they become teenagers, if they haven't been taught when they're kids, they still don't think about things. And so they need to be taught. It doesn't just happen. It's just not by osmosis. You know what? All of a sudden, oh, it's my birthday. Oh, wow, I know a whole lot more. No, it happens because we're taught. And if we don't learn when we're in a single digit, then we end up, you know, if we don't learn it when we're in a teen digit, then we end up having to learn things in our 20s and our 30s and our 40s. And there's people in their 50s that still haven't learned stuff. And so they're having kids that have no clue because the parents have no clue. And so it's important that we learn and recognize that God has given us a place, a seat. And so if people have a hard time ruling and reigning in their own life or in their own home, imagine what they do when the devil, amen, tiptoes through their tulips, as I keep saying. And when the devil stomps up on their front porch and then walks in and sits down in their living room or sits down in their kitchen and says, "Get me a glass of water." "Yes, sir, okay, whatever you say." They have no clue. And he wanders around their house, and all they do is go, "I don't understand why this is happening to me." And then they just cave in and they fall apart, and they have no hope. People need to know Jesus. But you know, people in the body of Christ are acting just like the world because they don't know. They don't know they can put their foot down and say no. According to the Word of God, I found out I can say no. Amen? Sickness and disease wants to walk through my home. I say no. I found out something. When poverty and lack wants to tiptoe through our tulips, I can say no in the name of Jesus. When confusion and heaviness and depression want to come in, I say no. Amen. We can take authority over these things. When fear comes in, we can run fear off. We are to rule and to reign in our homes, in our lives, because we have been given a seat to sit in and to rule and reign. Kings don't run all over the place. They sit and they rule. They say, "I have this thought. Make this thought so." And someone else does the running. "Let me sign that." "No, I'm not getting up to sign it. You bring it here, I'm going to sign it." "You bring it here." Boom, he puts his ring, his stamp of approval on it. Amen. They rule and reign. And we need to learn to rule and reign. Glory to God. And so we found out that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then he also raised us from the dead with him. And we are to reign in life through him. Glory to God. Because of him. Praise God. And so then, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about not being ignorant of Satan's devices. And see, here's the problem. A lot of people are ignorant, and that's why because they don't know. Because of ignorance, the devil can just sit in the living room, sit in the kitchen, wander through the bedrooms, and create havoc in our homes, create havoc in our neighborhoods, create havoc in our provinces, in our cities, and in our countries. Because people don't know. And when people don't know, they don't know that they don't know. And so that's why we're here. That's why we're teaching. That's why this is on the internet. This is why the message is to get out, because people need to know. Because when people know the truth, then they can be made free. They can walk in their freedom. It's not that they were then set free. They were not just then made free. We've already been made free. But because we didn't know the truth, we didn't know we were free. So if the devil can keep us ignorant, then he can keep playing around in our lives. But when we know the truth and we act on that truth, then he's in trouble, because he no longer can hide behind our ignorance. He no longer can be cloaked and just play around and have free reign. Amen? Right. So we found out that the the strategies, the devices, the works, the wiles of the devil. It's not what kind of camel gear we're wearing in regards to this fight and this spiritual warfare. And we can pull and cast and we're chasing demons and we're chasing feelings and we're chasing all this kind of... No. Our warfare, we found out, is here. We take captive every thought. We cast down every imagination. We pull down every stronghold. And it would have never gotten to a stronghold if we dealt with it as an imagination. And it would have never got to an imagination if we would have dealt with it as a thought. That's his works, his wiles, and his strategies, is the thoughts. And so we had talked about not fighting the symptoms. Because the symptom is not the root of the problem. The symptom is not the root of the problem. You know, if you've got a tree that produces bad fruit this year, that was a good apple last year, but oh, it's nasty this year. You don't just pull all the apples off and throw them away and go, boy, that was close. And then have some more grow, and then some more grow, and you go, boy, those are awful too. What's going on here? Let's pull these ones off. That's dealing with the symptom. It's time to get to the root. Leave the fruit alone and start looking at the ground. What's going on down here? What's attacking the tree to affect the fruit? What's being watered? Where's it getting its moisture? Where's it feeding from? What's going on here? Because something is happening. It's not the fruit's problem. The fruit is just a result. We don't fight the result. We don't fight the symptom. We fight the works, the wiles, and the strategies we talked about, which are the thoughts. Because if we just deal with the results, we've missed the whole thing. People try to fight the fat. We got to fight the fat, fight the fat, fight the fat. The fat's not the problem. It's the thought. You know, if I can just change my eating, I just need a 90-day challenge and just change my eating. And whoo, I dropped 20, 30, 40 pounds. Glory to God. Yeah, but what happens after the 90? Well, I never thought about after the 90. Doesn't it just stay the same? No, it doesn't stay the same. Not unless the thoughts have been changed. Because if the thoughts don't change, then you go back to the old actions. And the old actions produce old results. So a temporary fix is to change the actions. A permanent fix is to change the thoughts. Because thoughts produce actions. And actions produce results. Or thoughts lead to actions. And actions lead to results. All right? We've gone through that before, but it's important that everyone is reminded of that. And so our fight is not with the symptoms. Our fight is with the works, the wiles, the strategies of the devil. And it's also known as we are to fight to stay in faith. We're to fight to keep our thoughts lined up with this book. See, the fight is to stay in here. Because what Satan is doing is he's applying pressure to get us off of here. Because if he can get us off of here and get us to think his thoughts, then he can have his results in our life. That's why God tells us. And so that's where we're going to go today. We're going to finish off. We were in Mark chapter 4. So let's go back to Mark chapter 4. All right? Mark chapter 4. Because we talked about four ways of thinking or four types of thinking. And they produce different results. And when I say they produce different results, the result is different. But at the same time, the result for three of them is the same. What do I mean by that? Well, when we looked at verse 15, talked about the wayside soil or the wayside where the seed was sown, and the seed fell on the ground, and it was like hard ground, and it never penetrated. And what happened? We found out that the wayside soil, or the wayside way of thinking, when the seed was sown, was the seed, the word was spoken, the word was taught, the word was heard, but the word, according to Matthew, was not understood. And because it wasn't understood, Satan could take it away. It's like the bird flew down, grabbed the seed, and flew off. The seed, nothing happened. You dropped the seed there because you wanted to produce something, right? You wanted to plant something, to grow something, and the bird comes and flies and takes the seed away. Well, you know, there's no result now. My seed, the harvest, it just flew away. It's gone. So that was one type of thinking. I don't understand it. Let's go for chicken. Let's go to the restaurant. We go to church. I don't understand it. Okay. Well, it's lunchtime. Let's get out of here. You know? And off we go. And then there's another seed, okay? In the verse 16 talked about the stony ground, and the seed was sown. Oh, but they received it. They were so excited about it. And they did a little, dance jig for joy. And they said, I'm going to try that because that's exactly what I want. Man, that was good. I'm going to try that. And so they try it. And they do it for a little while. And it's something, it doesn't seem to change overnight. And everything doesn't seem to get fixed overnight. Over the process of time, like a day or two or maybe 7 days. A whole week, and wow, my world hasn't changed, my 10 years, my 20 years, my 40 years of doing something, it just didn't get all fixed in 7 days. And the pressure comes, the heat is on, and because that seed had no root, they throw the word down and they say this doesn't work. So the first one is they don't understand, so the seed is stolen. So that's one result. This second one is they were emotionally excited about it. They received it. They understood it. But because there was no root, they only endured for a short time. And then they got offended. So the result is they got offended. Well, it's a different result, but again, it's the same result as the first one because it produced no result. All right, so you understand what I'm saying? And then the third one is the seed that was sown among thorns, and they received it, and they were excited about it, but there was something else that was more important. There was something else that captured their attention. There was something else that they were focusing on, and the Bible calls it the cares of this world, the distractions of this age, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things, and all these things became more important, and they were focused on all these things, and somehow the Word of God, they received it, they were excited about it, but it wasn't as excited about all this other stuff, and the Word got choked, it got suffocated, it literally got its little life just strangled out of it, and it became unfruitful, the Bible said. So that was a third result. It became unfruitful, but it's the same as the first two results. It produced nothing. So now we are in verse 20. Let's go to verse 20. We'll pick up from where we were last week. Verse 20 says this, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100." Amen. So this is a different result now. This is a result that is They didn't just receive the word. They're not just excited about the word, but somehow it produced. The other three, you know, stolen, offended, and unfruitful, all three of those means nothing happened. But this one, the seed went down, the seed produced, and it started to grow. And harvest came. It's fruitful. It produced. So what happened different? What's different about this one? Well, let's see. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. Okay, they hear it and they receive it. So they heard it and they've received it. And so just by the phrase they received it and bring forth fruit, we can understand that they must have done something different than the second one. You know, number one, already we understand that they heard it and they received it. So they, number one, they must have understood it. Number two, they received it, but they weren't just emotional about it. They must have thought about it more. They were not so distracted by all these other things. They may have enjoyed and wanted to increase financially, and they might have enjoyed and wanted to increase in other things. And they might have understood and recognized that there are distractions of the age. There are things that maybe that could be worried about, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to be distracted. We recognize these other things, but there's something that's more important to focus on. Something more important to focus on. We're not going to focus on the symptoms. We're not going to fight the symptoms, but we're going to fight the fight of faith. We're going to fight to stay in faith. We're going to fight to stay hold and to lay hold of what we've heard and received. And so there's something different. Just by reading through this, we can find out that they didn't do what was the second ground did, and they didn't think the way the third ground was. And so they didn't do those things, and they brought forth fruit. So they began to act on the word, and they acted on the word, and they acted. They didn't just believe, they acted. Now let's not just stop here, because there's some actually more information revealed in the book of Luke when Luke talks about this story. So let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. So let's just look at Luke accounts, because Luke uses a few different words which will help us understand how we get to this fruitfulness, this 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold harvest. You know, how does that happen? Well, Mark was kind of vague, right? You know, those kind of words, it's like, okay, we can see something there. But let's find out here. Mark, or Luke chapter 8, verse 15 says, "But that on the good ground are they which in a honest and good heart," an honest and a good heart, an honest and a good heart. So the word good and honest are actually the same Greek word, an honest and a good heart. Having heard. And so when we understand here, having heard the word, they didn't just hear the word, but based on what we already saw in Matthew, they heard the word and they understood it. Right? They heard it and they understood it. Okay, so they heard and understood the word. And then he says, they keep it. They keep it. So now, the word keep in the Greek means this, to hold fast, to possess, to retain, to remember, to seize, and to take. I'll go through that again. It means to hold fast, possess, retain, remember, seize, and take. Do I need to go through that one more time? Okay, so we see that in a good and honest heart, they heard the word, they understood the word, and now they decided they're going to keep it. So in the keeping it, they have taken the word, And now I'm going to remember it. They've seized the word. They've seized a promise. And they are going to retain it. Right? They've possessed a word. They're going to possess what it says. They are going to hold fast to what it says. They're not letting it go. I don't care how much pressure comes. I don't care how much heat comes. I don't care. They're going to lay hold of it. They've possessed it. They've seized it. They've taken it. They are not going to let go. They are going to remember what the Word of God says. They're going to remember what they heard. You know what that is? That's causing that Word to go deep. That's causing that seed to go in. It's not just for a while. We're going to endure for a while. No, they've made the chance, they've made the choice. I'm going to lay hold of it. I'm going to possess it. I'm going to take hold of it. I'm going to seize it. I'm going to remember it. I'm not letting it go. Hallelujah. And so that's a key to producing results. That's a key to recognizing the strategy of the devil. He comes those first three ways. Well, the first one is really almost irrelevant because if we understand the word, it's no longer in effect. But we need to recognize Satan is still going to come to cause what we hear, the word of God, to become unfruitful. So he's going to apply. He can't steal the word after that. He can only steal it. He can only take it when we don't understand. The moment we understand, he can't take it. He can't take it. So if he can't take it, he has to get you and I to do something with it. If he can't take it, then he has to do something else. He has to change his strategy. And so now, if we understand the word, now he no longer can just walk in and take it. So he changes his strategy. Now he applies pressure. A pressure against what we say we believe. The devil will, his strategy is to apply pressure. You know, to turn the heat on. You want to get people flustered and you want to get people a little upset and you want to get people very tapping into their emotions. You stick them in a room. Well, you don't stick them in an air-conditioned room with an iced tea and a hammock. No. What you do is you stick four of them in a room with one chair and half an iced tea, and you turn the heat up. And you say, we'll be back in a minute. And 60 minutes later, you haven't come back yet. Can you see the pressure? You may all stand there, you know, for a couple minutes, 10 minutes. Someone's going to say, do you want to sit in the seat? Oh, yeah, thank you. You know, let the older person sit there. After half an hour, it's going to like, why did I even offer her to use that seat? I want to sit down. You know? And it's getting hot and it's like, how long is a minute? Dear me, how long is a minute? And they got, do you have to breathe so loud? Dear me. Whoosh, it's hot in here. And they start getting frustrated. And they're looking at the half an iced tea, and I want the iced tea, but who drank the first half? Who knows whose lips have been on there? I'm not, oh man, wish I had an iced tea. I almost feel like, who cares who drank it last? I want a sip of that thing, but, you know, you start applying pressure. But that's the devil's strategy, applying pressure. And then all of a sudden you've got, they throw some terrible noise in. All of a sudden you hear this sawing, or you hear this something. Wow. It's just some nasty noise. And it's like, what are they doing? And after 3 minutes of it, it's like, you're driving me crazy. Crazy. I need some earmuffs. I need some earplugs. Can you see the pressure? It's building one thing upon another. You know, the devil just doesn't poke you once. No. He's going to poke you with this finger, and he's going to poke you with that finger, and then he's going to have five of his buddies poke you with their fingers from every other place. And you're being poked, and it's like, does everything have to happen in one day? What is going on here? Pressure, pressure, pressure. Why? Because he can't steal the word, so he's wanting you to do this. This doesn't work. I tried that for a whole day. I tried that for a week. It doesn't work for me. You have no idea what I was going through. You have no idea what I was feeling. You have no idea. I'm telling you, you have no idea. Don't tell me it's all right. Don't tell me I understand. You don't understand, I'm saying, you know. The pressure, the pressure, the pressure. If the devil can just get you to cave, and that's all he needs to do. We need to just get you to cave and throw the word down, because if you hold fast, if you keep, if you possess, if you retain, if you remember, if you seize and take the word of God and don't let it go, it will produce. It will produce. It will produce. Hallelujah. And so they heard the word. They understood the word. They have made the choice to keep it. And then it says, and bring forth fruit with patience. The word patience is the word cheerful endurance. It also means consistency, and also means perseverance. So when the distractions of this world, or the distractions come, number one, they decide to keep it in the forefront. Right? They're going to keep it. They're going to remember the word. The distractions come. You know, so when you go to an illusionist, or you go to, your 4-year-olds or your 8-year-olds magician birthday party thing, and they want to distract you here so they can do something here and go, hey, see, it's distraction. And so the illusionist will distract you. And so the devil's been around long enough that he's practiced, he's got his bag of tricks. And if he can get you distracted, then the word of God becomes ineffective. But if we don't get caught up in his distraction, and we remember the word, we keep the word at the forefront of our mind, we keep the word at the forefront of our attention, then he can't distract us and cause the word of God to become unfruitful. So we keep the word, and 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 we remember 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 the word. And what am I doing? I'm persevering in patience. Patience. Patience doesn't mean, well, I'm just going to do it 3 times. And if nothing changes, we're going to move on to the next thing. That's called a short attention span. And that's not called patience. To patiently endure, to persevere under pressure. Are you getting a picture of Satan's strategy and how we can overcome the strategy? His work, his wile, what do we got? His devices. So we keep it with patience. Now again, it's cheerful endurance. It's not just endurance. It's not just, I'm just holding on till the end. I hate this. complaining all the way. All the way. Complaining, complaining, murmuring, 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 murmuring. You know what? That's what the children of Israel did. 40 years in the desert. Didn't need to be 40 years. They made it 40 years because of their choices. But they kept murmuring. Murmur, 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 murmur. God delivers them and they go get them moved to the next place and they murmur, 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 murmur. We're holding on till the end. Hallelujah. I wish we were just back in Egypt. However Keith Green's song goes, I wish we were back in Egypt where the something, something, something. Restaurants were delicious. And the food was great. I don't know. No clue. No clue. This whole twisted picture of the way it used to be. No, we're not holding on till the end. It's called cheerful endurance. Lord, this is what you said, and I choose to rejoice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we can use the painful elbow again. I'm not just enduring going, how long does it take, God? How long does it take? God said, I'll liberally supply all of your need according to my riches and glory. Where are you going to get it? Where are you going to get it? How long does it take? How long does it take? No, we got the painful elbow and we need to deal with it. But we're not dealing with the symptom. Lord, I thank you. The word of God says, you bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases and by your stripes I'm healed. You said I can have what I say. Excuse me. And so I say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I say healed. I say elbow, you are healed. I resist you pain. Go in the name of Jesus. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for healing me. I want to thank you for making me well. I thank you. I've got strong, healthy joints. I got strong, healthy joints. Blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you. They move freely. I'm pain free. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you for it. I praise you. I bless you. You are good to me. There's a cheerfulness about it. Not a murmuring and complaining because it didn't happen in 3 minutes. It didn't happen in three hours or 3 days. There's a cheerfulness. Hallelujah. Because it's changing. Our words are changing things. And the devil looks at us and he goes, he gives his best shot. You know, he tries this and he tries that and he tries this and he tries that and finally, he just has to turn around and walk away. Because we're not giving up. And if we don't give up, we will outlast him. Why? Because he doesn't have the strength or the endurance to not give up. That comes from God. So if we refuse to give up, we tap into God's strength, we tap into God's grace, we tap into his ability. And the devil just, we will outlast him because he can't. He can't be patient because patience is a fruit of the Spirit. He can't endure. He can't persevere because he doesn't have it in him. But we do. As believers, we have patience. Love, joy, peace, patience. We have it. We have it as a fruit and we must develop it. Just because we have it doesn't mean it's strong. It needs to grow. We need to develop it. But we have it. Glory to God. So, good ground is the ground where we hear, where we understand, where we believe, where we act on the word, where we persevere in doing the word, and we're joyful and rejoicing. And so then what's the result of that? 30, 60, 100-fold. Fruitfulness and results. The result of hearing the word, understanding the word, believing the word, acting the word, persevering in doing the word, being joyful and rejoicing in it produces 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold fruitfulness and results. Now, let's go back to Mark 4 for a moment. Let's go back to Mark 4. Because you may say, what's the deal with the 30, 60, 100? Why can't we just get 100? God, I want 100. Why did you send me 30? God, I want 100. Why did I only get 60? Well, it's not up to Him. Okay? He's just letting us know, based on our hearing, understanding, believing, acting, persevering and doing, joyfulness and rejoicing, it will produce. Based on that, it will produce. Depending on how we did these things, 30, 60, 100. Let's go to verse 24. Verse 24 says, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Luke says, how you hear. Take heed what you hear. But I want you to also see, take heed how you hear it. Because not only what you hear, we need to hear the word, but now how you hear that word, how you hear, with what measure you meet, it will be measured to you, and to you that hear shall more be given. How you hear what you hear will determine the results that we get. You know, John 3:16 says, oh yeah, I've heard that before. What's next? No. John 3:16. Yeah, I've heard that before. No. Take heed how we hear. I've heard that before, so I don't want to hear anymore. I want to hear something new. Can you see how that person is hearing with very little value John 3:16, because I've read it before. I've memorized it in Sunday school and I know that one already. So let's move on. And so they have measured very little on how they heard John 3:16. So they have only experienced very little of John 3:16. The Amplified, I'm going to read the Amplified. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4. Glory to God. Mark 4, verse 24. Mark 4, 24. And he said to them, be careful what you hear. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. Okay, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. The measure of thought and study you give to what you hear will be the measure, will be the 30-fold or the 60-fold or the 100-fold that's measured back to you. The virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. So he said, take heed how you hear, because if you hear, if you give thought and study, if you give time to what you hear and allow it to root. See, that was the problem with the seconds, the stony ground. There was no root. They gave very, very little thought and study to it. And so that's why they seemed to hold on for a little while, but then they got offended because it didn't happen. And so they threw the word down and said, it doesn't work for me. So the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold is determined by us, not by God. He would like us to all walk in 100-fold, but it's not up to Him. He said that it's the amount of thought and study that we put into what we hear. The effort that we put into what we hear. Now, what does that look like? What does that look like? The thought that we are the amount of thought and study. It's taken me a while to get here already. And so, our next step now is, the next portion I want to talk about now is what I call think on these things. All right? Because we found out the strategies of the devil is to make us think a certain way. To think contrary to the Word of God. That's why we're to cast down every thought that's contrary to the Word of God. We're to take captive every thought, right, that's contrary to the Word of God. We're to cast down every imagination, every reasoning, every argument that's contrary to the Word of God. So number two, see, we cast it down, and then we're to pull down every stronghold. See, these are Satan comes with thoughts and reasonings and arguments and lies contrary to the Word of God. So we're not supposed to think these things. Don't think these thoughts. Don't take these thoughts. Don't feed on these thoughts. Cast them down. Take them captive. Because these are his strategies. And so if we're not supposed to think those thoughts, his thoughts, then what kind of thoughts are we supposed to think? And so now let's take another step now. In regards to, we're finding out how to fight and how to win, right? So that's what this whole second part is about, how to fight and how to win. And so we found out the devil's strategies. He's trying to make us think his thoughts, but no, we don't think his thoughts, but you can't just not think a thought. You actually have to think a different thought. Do you understand that? You can't just not think a thought. Just say no. Well, you can say just say no, but then you have to say yes to something else. Because if you just say no and then stand there, and this seems to be still the only option, sooner or later your no is going to be like Eve, yes. So it's not enough just to say no. You say no, and then you have to go to yes. Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, no, and then just didn't stand there. He left, right? He left. He left the no. He left no behind. No, and then left. Because if he would have said no, quit taking that off. No. No. Oh, no. See, if he would have hung around the no too long, he would have been in trouble. Potiphar would have come home and the sheets would have been wrinkled. But he said no and then left. He left to the yes. I'm saying no to you and yes to God. And so he left because he did the yes. And so it's not enough just to say to the devil, no, I'm not going to think that thought. Now we have to decide what thought we're going to think. We need to think on these things. Well, what is that? So let's go to Psalm 23, or Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says this. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So now let's read this in context. In context, in verse 1 it says, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not be desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Whoever's setting this food before you is setting you up. Whoever's setting this food before you is trying to bribe you. Verse 4, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. He's saying, Don't chase after money. Because if you are chasing for money, if money is your highest thing, then all they need to do is put some nice food before you and say, I'm going to give you a big raise and I want you to do this. Oh no, I don't want to do that. Like I said, you're going to get a big big raise. You know, that's a capital B big raise. I want you to do this big raise. And here, have another of your favorites. Oh, yeah. Let me think about it. Well, you have like 5 minutes because dessert is on its way and then the meeting's over. 5 minutes. Let me. Oh, that's my favorite dessert too. Okay. This is the context of this whole portion of Scripture. Eat thou, verse 6. Wilt thou set thine eyes, verse 5, wilt thou set your eyes upon that which is not? See, the uncertainty of riches. For riches certainly make themselves wings and they fly away. That's why it's called deceitful meat. Yeah, I told you to get a big raise. You did it? That's good. Now we want you to do something else. Something else? Yeah. In order to keep that raise, we need you to do something else. No. I didn't sign up for this. Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah. And there's more things to come. But if you want to keep the raise, well, I can't let go of the raise now because, you know, I just moved into the new place and my mortgage payments is this big now instead of this big. And I'm buried if I don't, all of a sudden, see, here's the way the devil functions and operates. And so, eat thou not the bread of him that has an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Why? For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to you, but his heart is not with you. It sounds good. Eat and drink, it's all right, it's all for you, but his heart's not with you. No. It's manipulation. It's trying to buy you. So I want you to see this phrase. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. As we think in our heart, so are we. It's not what we say with our mouth. It's what we think in our heart. It's what we think in our heart. And so that's why people are confused because they go, well, they believe in healing and they died. They died young. It doesn't make sense. I guess it must be, if it's your will, Lord, to heal me, heal me. If it's not your will, I guess we're going to die. They're confused. Why? Because it's not what we say we believe. It's what's in our heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As we think in our heart, so are we. So it's what we think that produces action, which produces results. And so someone may say, I believe in healing. They say I believe in healing. But again, let me tell you the story. I've got a friend told me the story. I met the husband. I don't know if I met the wife. I met the husband. I bought an air conditioning offer. They were relatives of friends of friends that were going to my friend's church. And so she'd been healed of cancer before. Cancer came back. And so she said, he said, we're believing God for healing again. Yeah, everyone, we're believing God for healing. It's not a problem. She'll be healed. She died. Well, my friend, the other pastor, told me the rest of the story. Because see, we can all get confused. She got healed once. They believe God in healing. I mean, if God can do it once, he can do it again. They're believing for healing, and now she dies. It doesn't make sense. There must be something wrong with the Word and something wrong with God. But no, here's the rest of the story. She's not telling her family what she's thinking. What she's thinking. You can get under pressure when you're sore, when you're hurting, when you're getting older, and so on and so forth. And so, there's pressure. And she mustn't have wanted to fight anymore. Because literally, they're praying. We're saying we're believing God for healing, but she is already planning her funeral. Writing, we want this pastor, you know, to do the funeral, and we want so-and-so to sing this song, and so-and-so to sing this song, and we want these people to carry the casket. So you can't be believing God for healing and writing the details of your funeral at the same time. Right? So here's Here's the deal. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Not the smile on our face and not the words that are coming out of our mouth. As we think in our heart. And so we must be merciful with people. Why? Because you know what? We have no idea what's in their heart. You know, you'd like to, but we don't always say what's in our heart. Sometimes we say pretty words that we think people want to hear. Because we don't want to offend them, we don't want to hurt them, we don't, you know, so we just don't share all the details, don't tell the truth, or, you know, it's, we don't always say what we're thinking. And so as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Genesis chapter 11. Let's go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 talks about a group of people. A group of people, verse 6, says, "And the Lord said, Behold, this group of people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing." Say nothing. "Nothing will be restrained from them." New King James says, "Nothing will be withheld from them, which they have imagined to do or purposed to do." Nothing. Nothing. Why? Because they were all thinking the same thing and acting on the same thought. And so God said, "Let's go down there and confound their language. So they're not all one language, one thought, one action anymore." And he confounded the languages. So they were no longer one. And that which he said, "Nothing will be restrained or withheld," ceased. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so God had to change their thinking. They no longer were on the same page because they couldn't understand one another, so they couldn't think like one another anymore. And then let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. Numbers 13, verse 33. Last verse of Numbers 13. Numbers 13, verse 33. "Children of Israel said this, And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." Interesting. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Because they were thinking together, nothing was restrained or withheld. God changed their language. He confounded their language so they could no longer think alike. And it ceased what they were doing. We see here, God said, "I've given you the land." And yet with His Word, they went and they got distracted because we saw the giants. We saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we began to see ourselves as grasshoppers. We began to think we are grasshoppers, and the moment we began to see ourselves as grasshoppers, they began to see us as grasshoppers. See, here's the problem that David produced is he didn't see himself as a grasshopper. The rest of Israel's army saw themselves as grasshoppers at that time also, when Goliath is standing out there, And so Goliath saw them as grasshoppers. And all the Philistines saw Israel as grasshoppers. And they're just waiting with smiles on their face until this teenager goes out there and he doesn't see himself as a grasshopper. I'm a lion killer. I'm a bear killer. I'm a giant killer. I serve the Most High God. Who's going to end this defilement? Who does this guy think he is, this uncircumcised Philistine, to defile the armies of a living God? I'm on God's side. I'm no grasshopper. He's a grasshopper. And David's going out there, and he's going out after the giant grasshopper. And the giant grasshopper starts spewing out information, and David interrupts him and said, I serve the Most High God. I serve the giant, hallelujah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to take your head off of your head, you giant grasshopper. And then he begins to run at him. He's not a grasshopper. He's going after the grasshopper. I'm going to stomp on you, grasshopper. I'm going to jump all over you. I'm going to squish you. I'm going to take your head off of you, grasshopper. David saw himself as not a grasshopper, but a grasshopper killer. Hallelujah. But the problem is these guys said we saw ourselves in our own sight. We were grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's not what we say. It's what we believe in our heart. It's what we think in our heart. And so we must line up our words with what we say, with what we think in our heart. Hallelujah. So we take the word, think on these things. So, you know what? We're going to unhook here. This is probably a good place to unhook. And when we recognize, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We're not the grasshoppers or the grasshopper killers. Amen? We're not defeated by the devil. The devil's defeated by our Jesus, which makes us victorious. Hallelujah. We're overcomers because Jesus overcame. We're not overcome, we're overcomers. Glory to God. And so we will we'll unhook here and we'll pick up next week from here. But enjoy victory this week. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God.